I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I can start?
Yes.
I can has cheeseburger?
Don't know that. No. No, that's so out of date. Why would you? Ugh. Mr. Memes over here.
Whenever you see it on television, you know it's over.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Absolutely. That's... Yeah. When it's on Big Bang Theory, you know it's over.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, junior editor at that site. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Maso, Chip Dangercock Mason.
It's me, everyone. Hi.
You're back.
Yes.
How you feeling?
As if there was any doubt.
Well,
I would be back.
Sometimes you disappear for months on end.
That's true, yeah.
Where do you go?
But what I do is I pre-record all my responses to the things that you say on this podcast, and you just slot them in. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
So
right?
far, yeah. yeah so yeah. far, so good. All right, all right. Now, Mason.
What do you mean, Shia LaBeouf? See? Seamless.
The guy's been lying, though, hasn't he?
He has been lying very low. I'm glad.
Yeah, good. Hopefully, under
anyway,
a bus.
Anyway, I'm good. I'm very well.
Good, great to
yeah.
hear.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into the news, Mason, I just want a quickly YouTube update thing. People keep asking me.
Yeah.
Basically, a guy from named Ben who works for the Yogcast.
Uh-huh.
This is a massive UK network in. Of YouTube channels in the UK, which makes sense. He reached out and said, listen, I've had some luck getting some people back online before. Give me some details or whatever. I'm happy to email my guy because they've got, well, their main channel has something like 6 million subscribers.
Uh-huh.
So they've got direct access.
Oh.
And he was kind enough to reach out and do that and say, listen, I can help you out. So there's a good chance in the next few weeks that I'll be coming back.
A few weeks is a long time.
It is.
Yeah.
That's all right because I had nothing and this guy really... You know,
yeah,
he's really come through, and yeah, I appreciate it. Even if it doesn't work out, what a great guy.
Absolutely.
But I'll
it
get
it. Better work out, though.
No, really, Ben, I appreciate it if you are listening to it. Unless it's an elaborate hoax, wouldn't that?
Just as a goof, yeah, that'd
just
be great.
Just catfishing me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that catfishing?
I think catfishing has been expanded to any kind of prank on the internet.
What,
pretty much anything.
Or literally catfishing.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. If you actually go out on a boat and you... fish for catfish.
I once caught a catfish.
No, it's not true.
True!
Huh.
What do you think of that?
I think you're a liar, but continue.
On with the show.
Yes.
Mason.
Yes.
A couple of Avengers Age of Ultron newses.
I'm ready.
First of all, the UK release for UK and Ireland has been moved forward 1 week ahead of the US, April 24th of next year, which is roughly a year from now. So, like most Marvel movies, the UK does get them ahead. And we only get some of them ahead. Depending when the school holidays are.
It's a random assortment, isn't it?
Yeah, and normally we won't find out till a few months before when it's been moved. Because it's kind of last minute.
It really grinds my gears. No, it doesn't. I have no idea.
Because I think they're kind of like, oh yeah, Australia, you can also have it whatever date is available.
Yeah.
We're low priority, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we're a nothing country, really.
It really annoys me that these films for children are arranged and released according to the schedule of school holidays for children. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do know what you mean.
I should be able to buy an ice cream cake from McDonald's and walk into a cinema whenever I want and watch Age of Ultron. Because I'm an adult.
Good point.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. But that's not the only news of Age of Ultron, Mason.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Feige says that Thanos has been cast. Now, he's going to be, which makes sense because he will appear in our Guardians
of the Galaxy.
He's
been cast as, I can think of a funny character, never mind.
Darkseid.
No, good.
No, it says that, you remember Damien Poitier? He played him in The Avengers. Very, very brief cameo. It was a mixture of like, I think prosthetic.
Do you mean in the mid-credit sequence in
The Avengers?
Okay,
yeah. And some CGIs and whatnot. But I'm assuming that if he's saying he's being cast, that means he's not the same guy.
Right.
I think it might be a big name actor.
Yeah, okay.
Or a big-ish name actor. Mm. So, yeah, but, you know, remains to be seen.
Sure does.
You're excited to see him again, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I knew it. Mm-hmm. Great work, Mason.
Thank you.
Now, what's your favorite movie from the 80s that's not Star Wars or Indiana Jones or Back to the Future or RoboCop or Terminator or James Cameron's Abyss? That's sci-fi.
Yeah. Did you say Raiders?
Yes.
Highlander?
Or Highlander.
What?
I'll just tell you.
Okay, what is my favorite?
Flash Gordon is coming back. 20th Century Fox are rebooting the series. Now, this didn't do very well in the 80s, Flash
Gordon.
When they
say series, they mean the one film.
They mean
right?
the one until they start, don't do it for 30 years, yeah.
Right, yeah, okay, great.
I think Flash Gordon's become somewhat of a cult favorite, even though it didn't do well at the time. It's one of those movies, like many movies from the 80s, tried to cash in on the Star Wars kind of brand.
Uh-huh.
And like most of them, just completely tanked.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, there's, people have some fondness for it. Of course, he appeared in Ted, the movie Ted.
That's right, he did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know.
And that was great, right?
Yeah, I thought
it was
so.
Great.
Wasn't it?
No, it was terrible. Anyway.
You didn't like Ted?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Ted.
Anyway, there was like two good jokes in it. Anyway, most people have fondness for that film because of the Queen soundtrack, sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's
like,
amazing.
Nothing else of that stands
Flash!
Out, really. Ah! Savior of the universe! Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that one, yeah. But, and other stuff in there.
Sure.
But, I mean, what else? There were the hawk-winged men in it?
I haven't seen it.
Well, that's it. So, yeah, I've... That's all the good parts.
All right,
so
cool.
You effectively have seen it now.
Sure. Well, yeah. Isn't like Star Wars like an updated kind of Flash Gordon-y kind of thing?
I guess so. In the
isn't
sense,
that's one of the influences.
I guess so because Star Wars was intended for us to be sort of we entered during the midpoint of like a 1950s
yeah.
sci-fi serial
yeah.
kind of thing. And
that's
I guess
it.
Yeah. So there was also I remember there being a Flash Gordon TV series. Like
there was a cartoon, wasn't there? Is that what you're talking about?
There's Defenders of the Earth.
Oh, yeah. Best theme song ever. I'm going to put that in here.
Great. Out of the sky, his rockets ignite. Jets into battle, flying faster than light. Flash Gordon, Lord of the Jungle, the hero who stalks. The beasts call him brother, the ghost who walks. Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. Yeah, but there was a Flash Gordon series in, like, the mid-2000s.
Okay.
TV series. It was on like Sci-Fi Channel, so nobody watched it.
Oh, that's right. Mm. And it had the guy who was in Smallville, the blonde guy from Smallville who dates Lana Lang.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so he's always been with us in a way, except for like big gaps and decades.
The decades
and stuff.
Of gaps, sure, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Great.
Uh-huh.
So we're on board.
So what are we gonna see? Have they said anything? They're
nothing
just gonna
in particular.
Reboot it.
It's just Fox are doing it.
Right? Because do you think it's gonna be John Carter of Mars?
It's a very good chance that that's going to be the case.
Because they can't deliberately make it over the top, silly with a Queen soundtrack
again.
No,
unfortunately.
I mean, we've run out of Queen songs.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they could do it with Tupac songs. We're never going to run out of those. But it's not going to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Against it.
No, I'm not against it, but it's just going to be like a straight-laced kind of movie serial period action film, and it's not going to work. Like,
sure.
Like The Phantom didn't work.
Yeah.
Or
so it's
The Shadow
be
didn't work.
Not, I'm thinking like Total Recall remake, just kind of like a bland nothing kind of.
What about
of...
a Lost in Space remake? I enjoyed that when it came out.
I know you did. Yeah. So did I. I remember that. What did I really like? Where Matthew Perry had the armor.
Mm.
Is it Matthew Perry? The other guy. Matt LeBlanc.
There we go.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're both named Matt. I never realized.
There you go. Yeah.
You heard it first.
This is all about, yeah. Weekly Planet exclusive.
Now, Robert Orci, you familiar with him?
Was he one of the Lost guys?
He was one, maybe, I don't know. But he co-wrote and produced Star Trek Into Darkness.
Uh-huh.
And he's also going to write Star Trek Into Darkness 3, whatever that's going to be called. Remember, he was the guy who...
More darkness!
He was the guy who went onto the forums and got in arguments with fans over people not liking Star Trek
right,
Into Darkness.
Uh-huh.
And he got real upset that people didn't like it. And he goes like, how dare you? He's like... And somebody compared it to a Raiders of the Lost Ark ripoff. And he said, Star Trek Into Darkness has got more social commentary than Raiders ever did. And I'm saying that with Harrison Ford being a friend.
Oh.
Like, that was like a... And he's like, that's why I get to write movies and you don't. Like, he got real petty.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine, like, they're both in hammocks, him and Harrison Ford. And they're just out in the deck on hammocks. And Harrison's like, I don't care. Say whatever you want. Say every film I've been in is the worst film in the world. I don't care. I got no interest.
But you know what? If you write a movie mm-hmm. and people don't like it, just it's
fine. Not
don't
everyone's
say
gonna
it.
Like
don't,
everything. Yeah,
don't say it. Don't You're not going to win
we
that,
say
are
that,
you?
We say that, but we've never written a movie. Like, well, maybe you get super defensive.
I've written several movies that have been rejected by Hollywoods.
Huh. Give me an example of one.
Flash Gordon 2. Flash Thompson. Flash Gordon versus Flash Thompson.
Great.
That's the full title.
That's, wow, I'd buy that.
Sure. Yeah. So there you go. But he wants to direct, never directed a project before, but he wants to direct Star Trek Into Darkness. Apparently J.J. Abrams' company, Bad Robot, is very much on board for this. Mm-hmm. But the studio apparently is reluctant for him to do so.
Yes.
What do you think?
Give it a whirl.
Sure.
What? Where's the harm?
Well, I think, though, with first-time directors, is it a good idea to give them a big project like this, first off?
There has to be an example.
Transcendence.
You've
that's
heard
been
mixed
out
things.
In the, that's very, it's apparently very mixed. Mixed to poor. Even.
Okay, and that was Wally Pfister.
That's right. First-time directorial effort. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really care because I did not enjoy Into Darkness, as we've talked about. Uh-huh. I don't care what happens to the franchise. So, yeah. You know.
But again, I think there must be some sort of Hollywood movie boot camp that you sort of have
to
go through.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
We have talked about this. Yeah. Oh, actually, in addition to, you know, how somebody was very kind enough many weeks ago to start a Weekly Planet drinking game.
Yes.
Whenever I wonder if I've talked about something on the podcast before, you take a drink. Just add to the danger element there.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there must be some sort of boot camp where you go through, and even if you haven't, like Favreau only did a couple of indie pictures before he did
Zathura.
He did Zathura, and then he did Iron Man. Yeah. So clearly, they, you know, you go into one of those films not knowing what half the people do. I imagine there are people around you who sort that out all out for you.
Yeah, so that's right.
I think it's
you've got your best boy. You've got your grip.
Grip, best boy.
Is that those their things? Aren't they?
Yeah. The best. Hang on. There's the key grip.
What's he do?
He sets up lights.
Ah.
And
so what's the lighting guy do?
He sets up additional lights. And the best boy helps the key grip.
Is there a boy? Like, there's best boy, and then there's just a boy.
Yeah, it's just a regular boy, yeah. He gets the paper and stuff in the director.
Gotcha. Cool, yeah. Cool.
But, I mean, if the guy has a decent vision for what it is,
yeah.
Like, you know, they say, you know, everybody's got a decent novel in them or a decent movie or whatever.
They say that, yeah. Everybody's got one good story.
You had Flash Thompson versus Flash Gordon. That's your one, so you're allowed to have that. So if his vision is good enough, I think there will be enough people in the team to help him realize that.
I feel like there was a lot of kind of good faith built up with the first Star Trek reboot, and then they just kind of pissed all over it for the second one.
Yeah.
I know we talked about this before. But, you know, why just make Wrath of Khan again? And you know what else I should have done at the end of that movie? Before we move on from this, we talk about this way too much.
Uh-huh.
They shouldn't have made Benedict Cumberbatch Khan. They should have just made him one of his crew who was trying to revive Khan.
Okay,
it doesn't have to be Khan.
Right.
It doesn't look like Khan.
Yeah, it's weird that Spock recognized Khan.
Yeah.
He didn't look anything like Khan. How did that happen?
Time.
Time. It's probably time, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the way they
probably
should have
played
that.
Probably time and space.
Oh, you didn't even think of that. Yeah. So there you go. Mason, I know you're a big fan of the Hobbit movies.
No.
What's your favorite one?
Haven't seen them.
What's your favorite one, though?
I guess the animated one from the 80s or whatever that was.
Just
got weird shadow puppets in it. Was that Lord of the Rings? I don't know. What cares?
I think there was a Lord of the... Was there a Hobbit one?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think there is one. Irrelevant.
Which is weird because I've read The Hobbit, the book.
Yeah.
But I've never read Lord of the Rings, the books.
Yeah.
But I've seen Lord of the Rings, the films, but never The Hobbit, the films.
So you've got all of them pictured in your mind.
Correct.
Cool. Well, Mason, now that we know what your favourite Hobbit movie is,
uh-huh.
The third movie was originally going to be called There and Back Again,
uh-huh.
Which is not a great subtitle.
No, but that's very Hobbity.
I mean, it's very Hobbity. Would you want something that's even more Hobbity?
I'm ready.
The Hobbit has been renamed The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. How Hobbity is that?
It's so Hobbity. It's very Hobbity. Yeah.
It's not very Hobbity, is it?
The Hobbit Danger Squad. No, just pick some random words and say them at the end. It doesn't
matter. Sure. Yeah. Look, I guess I imagine that's a big plot point in that book that I haven't read.
Yep.
You've read it, right?
Can't remember. I have, but it's a long time ago.
Sure. I mean, I think that'd probably get more people in. I mean, people who are fans of it are going to see it anyway. This is going to be the last Lord of the Rings universe movie that we'll possibly ever see. Probably not, though.
No.
They'll work something in. So, you know. Hmm. Good?
Yeah, good.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down from me.
Now, Mason.
Yes?
You're familiar with the Star Wars expanded universe, aren't you?
I'm aware of what it is. Oh, did you see they released a whole bunch of Star Wars concept art? Maybe this wasn't recent.
Okay.
But I just saw it on, like, BuzzFeed or something.
For new Star Wars?
No, for old Star Wars. They're
okay.
Amazing. Like,
yeah,
the guy who, and I'm forgetting his name, Gary something.
Yeah, Gary Shandling.
Yeah, Gary Shandling. He created all the concept art.
Gary Sinise, sorry.
Yeah, for all the first.
Gary Busey.
For the first Gary Busey. for all the first for the first Star Wars film, and they're all
Glengarry Glen Ross. Like sorry.
It's not they didn't like it's not you know like marketing promotion.
Gavin and Stacey, sorry,
God. It's not a thing. But it's looks really great.
Great, so just, okay. Is this like pre?
This is pre-production.
Anything?
Yeah,
but on all movies or just the first one?
I think it's just the first one. It's probably old stuff, but...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great. It's well, I know that, a week or so back, they put in... Looks like there's going to be AT-ATs, you know, those big camel walking machines. Because they're going to go back to Tatooine, and there's shots of feet of
Tatooine, things. Well.
Exactly.
Well.
I call them AT-ATs, but they're not called that, are they?
Do you think...
Yeah.
...that they'll have a better chance when there's no snow?
I think they're kind of clumsy and stupid.
Just in all situations. Yeah.
No, they're great. What am I talking about? They're amazing.
Yeah.
And that's snow scene, whatever, that whole thing is still amazing.
Uh-huh.
There's so much good stuff in Star Wars. Hmm. Not so much recently, but man.
Ralph McQuarrie, that's his name.
Oh, that's his name. Yeah.
They've been out for years.
Yeah, it turns out.
But I just saw them recently and they were really great.
What a scoop, though.
I mean, obviously they've been out for decades.
Exclusive.
Anyway, you had some expanded universe.
Sure. Well, now Lucasfilm have officially come out and said, listen, the expanded universe will not be working to the new movies. They're going to keep printing the books, but they're going to be under the Star Wars Legends banner. So they're like a parallel kind of story.
Oh, interesting.
But the thing is, though, because...
So that universe is going to continue in the book universe.
Possibly. They might just...
Probably just scrap
that. Yeah. But basically because they want to tell a different story post Return of the Jedi. But they're saying, though, not everything's going to be discarded and creators of Star Wars Entertainment have full access to all of it. So, for example, there's a new series coming out called Star Wars Rebels, which is like an animated-y kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And there's stuff they're pulling from that and whatever. They also announced some new Star Wars books that are going to be canon in the new universe.
Yep.
I think a lot of the prequel stuff will remain the same, but anything post Return of the Jedi can be... robbed or just scrapped completely.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that's, I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's their official stance on it now.
Exclusive content.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, did you know, Mason?
I'm ready.
Oh, they also said, well, some guy was quoted as saying, I watched a video on it. He said, there truly can be one consistent content, and that's always been the dream.
Yoda.
Yep.
Of the dream. Okay, right.
Has that always been the dream? I mean, there already was one consistent content until these movies came out.
Yeah, sure was. Yeah.
So there was that dream. Now there's a slightly different dream.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Marvel have announced, Mason, the comic run. We don't often talk about comics on this show. It's more movie-based.
It is more movie-based.
But we do talk about comics a lot as well.
Yeah.
Marvel have announced the Death of Wolverine miniseries where Wolverine will be deathed. Stoned to death.
For a while, and then he'll be back.
I mean, of all people who...
Marvel president says he will be dead for a while to boost sales, and then something will come out, a movie or something, and then he'll be back.
Well, I think that's the idea. They'll probably kill him, and then there'll be a Wolverine solo movie. They've announced there's going to be a third one.
Yep.
So, I mean, of course.
Well, that's what they did with Captain America. They killed him, and then he came back just in time for the movie.
Just in time for lunch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be...
Steak and a milk.
It's going to be... There's a September miniseries.
Uh-huh.
That's when it's coming out, sorry. And it's written by Paul Cornell, and he's done a whole lot of Doctor Who books and stuff like that. And he's a pretty good comic writer. So I think the thing about these death of stories, people complain when I spoiled the death of Captain America. That goddamn fly's in here! Sorry. Anyway, there's a fly in here, guys. And now that stopped. No, it's still going. I gotta get rid of this.
Okay, all right.
Can't handle this.
Keep it rolling, though.
Talk amongst yourselves, guys.
Okay, he's really awkwardly getting out of his chair.
I don't want to kick any cords.
He doesn't want to kick any cords. He's found the fly. He's opened a door. Nope, this fly's moving as far away from the door as you can possibly get. No, you're really messing this up, mate.
I can spray a bunch of fly spray.
No, don't do that. We're trapped in here. No.
Done.
Did it go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I whispered it out of here.
Wow, you are amazing. What were we talking about?
Captain America?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, what was I saying? Death of something?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, often the spoiler isn't in the title. The spoiler is more kind of how it happens in the thing.
Right, exactly.
And the
yeah.
impact of it. How do you kill Wolverine?
Well, bullets to the brain won't work, evidently. No, it's...
Decapitate?
Just decapitate him.
Throw him into the sun?
He can't have adamantium, like... joints in between his bones.
No, he can't.
Because otherwise he couldn't move.
He'd be a weird statue.
So you cut his head off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can he grow back from his head? Have you reattached his head to his neck? Does he come back?
I think
back?
He would come back from that, yeah.
Because I know if he's been torn in half by the Hulk and he went and crawled to his legs.
Did that series ever finish? I don't think it ever finished.
I don't know. So he's still crawling to
his legs. Yeah, Ultimate Wolverine is still crawling to his legs. He's been doing it for years now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that... Oh, maybe it finished eventually. But the gap was years long.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What a good guy.
Yeah.
So I guess look forward to that.
Yeah. As much as you can.
Yeah. Now, Mason, you wanted to talk about the trailer for Lucy. And I said the trailer's been out for weeks.
Yeah, but then I'm not known for my timely news. How good does it look?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Right?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
looks like Limitless, but not boring.
You right? hated Limitless.
Yeah, it was
I
really
liked
boring.
Limitless.
I stopped watching it. It just ran out of steam.
Maybe your patience wasn't limitless.
Correct.
For that film.
Oh, I would agree with that.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's got that light in it, which I hated things. Humans only use 10% of their brain.
That, yes.
Imagine if we could
true.
Use 100% of the
we
brain.
We use most of it. That's why it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just we don't use all of it at once or
and
something.
And also, there's the issue of if this stuff can give you superpowers, why hasn't everybody taken it?
Yeah. Really good point. So in the trailer, she gets a stomach full of drugs and then some in a bag, and then somebody kicks her in the stomach and the bag bursts.
Yep.
And then she gets superpowers.
Yep. Were you going to say super duper powers?
Super duper powers.
Yes. But it looks good. She can like change her appearance
sure.
and like, telekinesis and all sorts of.
It reminds me of Rob Schneider.
So like limitless but not boring.
It's like Rob Schneider's the animal because she's got some animal powers because
oh,
her
yeah.
eyes make different animals.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's anything to do with animals, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I love
it. She can like see cellular transmissions and stuff like that.
Can you see those?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You're pretty good.
Grew up under power lines. That's how.
So, yeah.
Looks good. Luc Besson.
Yeah. Well, what's he done? Transporter?
Fifth Element? Mm-hmm.
Transporter?
Yep.
Transporter 2?
Leon the Professional? Just the Professional.
Just the Professional? Yeah. It's another one?
Mm-hmm.
These are all great movies.
Yeah, exactly. All I'm saying is, how did that fly under the radar?
Didn't it?
No.
All
right. How did it fly under the radar for me? Because I'm oblivious to most stuff, probably. That's how.
There might even be two trailers out by now. No, that's not true. But yeah, looks great. There's another one out at the moment called In Her Skin or In Your Skin or something where she's an alien in Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
she goes around a van picking up dudes, but a lot of it's real footage. Like she actually hits on dudes and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. That seems really dangerous.
It really does, yeah.
But I haven't seen it.
No, but they've probably got, you know how the President of the United States, he has like those two SUVs that follow his limo all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And one's got like a giant machine gun in it. Have you seen that?
No.
It's insane.
One's got a giant machine gun in it.
Just from a machine gun and stuff.
Oh,
like, you know, in
great.
You know, in Captain America 2, spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Fury's car's got that machine gun in it.
Yeah.
This SUV has a much bigger machine gun in it. Like, it's insane. Like, it's one of the ones you put on a plane.
Like on a mount? It's on
yeah,
a
like
mount?
Yeah, like a mount. It comes out of like the roof.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not a trick, like it's an actual thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's like the promotional video for the company that made it.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
like, check this out. And it's just like a giant machine gun.
I need to see
yeah,
this.
Yeah. And what the other, like there's one, it's got a giant machine, and the other one has like CIA officers in it or something like
cool.
that. Like special forces guys.
Do they have machine guns?
Probably.
Mini machine guns that pop out of hats that they wear?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Secret Squirrel.
Right,
yeah.
Sure. Inspector Gadget didn't do guns, did he?
He had a laser.
Oh, yeah, he did too. Mm. That'd do some damage.
That always annoyed me as a child that he didn't do guns. Like, I mean, I was like, how many guns could you fit in that guy? Heaps of guns.
Was he a robot or a man?
No, it was a cyborg.
But was he originally a man?
Yeah.
Because in some versions, isn't he just a robot?
No, he's always been a man.
In the movie, he was Matthew Broderick.
Correct. And then French Stewart.
Oh, he was too.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, anyway.
And Penny was his girlfriend and not his daughter.
Not true.
In the movie, it's
really?
That's what happened. Yeah, yeah.
I have no memory of that. That's weird.
Imagine how many guns you could fit in.
Gross.
Sorry about it. I didn't mean it to go that way,
well,
but it did.
That's podcasting sometimes.
All right, Mason, before I get on to the last bit of news,
I have some news.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Ray Fisher is going to be Cyborg in...
I was going to bring that up, man.
Just then?
Yeah, well, I was going to link it cleverly into the topic, but you've ruined everything.
Well, I had that, and I had another bit of news.
Sure, what's your other news?
Well, my other bit of news was that they unearthed the E.T. cartridges.
They totally
desert.
Did,
yeah.
yeah.
Although, I'm a little bit skeptical.
Yeah.
Because they've only shown, some cartridges, like a little
yeah.
stack of cartridges.
Yeah.
And apparently it was like 14 dump trucks.
So they
full
say.
Full of E.T. cartridges or whatever.
And there's a bunch of other stuff in there, like Atari products and bits and pieces and whatever
like,
in there.
There's like Raiders of the Lost Ark promotional.
Oh my god!
Little poster things.
Was it in like a? Was it? Did they just dump it, or was it in containers, like shipping containers or anything?
I think it was in like not in shipping containers, but like in like cardboard boxes that you would store video games in, like how they would come to stores or whatever.
Why didn't they just throw them in the tip?
Probably because people would steal them.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
fair point. Well, I know this might put a damper on it. The upcoming Angry Video Game Nerd movie, which is all about
the myth behind
whether this thing really exists.
Well, that's kind of ruined that, hasn't it?
And it turns out that it does exist.
Yeah. I mean, but again, it does look kind of like... it does look kind of like they just hired a digger.
Yeah.
Or they just saw somebody was doing a dig in the, you know, near the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just had a stack of Atari cartridges and are like, hey, can you pretend to...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has the internet ruined me to such an extent?
It's possible. Like, it's possible. Yes.
Then I'm like, oh, you know, they probably did. This is probably a trick.
It could work very well, but if this is a trick, would you care? If they're like, we got you.
If it is a trick to sell something, that would annoy me.
Okay, sure.
But I mean, until I see literally thousands of cartridges.
Yep.
In a photo in the desert.
Yeah.
Or a video, even I probably won't believe it.
Do you want one?
Yeah.
The cartridges?
No.
Did you ever play that game?
No.
There wasn't a lot of it. Might not have even come out here.
Might not have come to Australia. You're right. Yeah.
Unplayable. I mean, people say that game is unplayable, and I'm sure it was.
But a lot of games in that era were completely
unplayable. Most of them
were unplayable. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Even Pitfall was amazing. You ever played Pitfall?
I played Pitfall, yeah.
Great game.
Yeah.
Not now.
No,
or
sir.
It is? I don't know.
Unlikely.
Yeah. I think it only as far back as you can probably go on consoles is probably Nintendo.
Mm.
You know, Super Mario Brothers is still a great game.
Yeah, Metroid.
Duck Hunt. Great game. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much do you reckon they're worth?
Probably very little. Yeah. Unless they're from that dig site.
Okay, fair point. Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
Anyway.
I just wanted to say a quick thank you to you, Mason.
Thank you. You're welcome.
No, for the amazing Spider-Man commentary that we put up. If you do want to listen to it, now seems like a good week if you haven't already, because The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is out this week.
Yep.
As I've said, or as we've said, you do not feel obliged to pay any money for it. Download it for free if you can rip it, or play it for free. I want to give a quick shout out to Edgar San, who gave us $10, Edward, who gave us $30, and Kevin Early, whose name I pronounced wrong last week, so I apologize. You know how somebody last week, Eduardo, donated, Eduardo donated $45 to Trump.
Uh-huh. Like a champ,
to
sure.
Trump Kevin's $40 donation. Well, Kevin Early, who also says to you, specifically and to me, to get back in our windowless box, has trumped Eduardo and given a $54 donation. And he says, and tell Eduardo to eat a bag of dicks in the most sincere way.
Wow.
So look, I don't want to turn this into a weird bidding war.
I do. I don't want that so much, but I would like to create a series of rivalries.
Sure.
Like not even, you don't have to donate a lot. I just want somebody to donate $1 and then another guy to donate $1.25, and then they have a bit of rivalry for the rest of their lives.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm all for that. Yeah, what a legend though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Donating all that money, that's two massive donations is giving us.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you, Eduardo, also, but wow, the challenge has been set,
the gauntlet's been thrown down.
But please,
the infinity gauntlet has been thrown down.
I'm not trying to do this to encourage people to make the biggest donation, but what a nice thing to do. I thought, and a great way to make an enemy for life.
Yeah, I think maybe if you don't want to donate any money, maybe some sort of elaborate stunt you could do.
Sure.
You could get in a box in Times Square and just see how long you can stay there, David Blaine style. You know?
You could I don't know, bury yourself in that Atari landfill.
You could bury yourself in the Atari landfill.
There you go. Also, a Brandon who made a donation, he said to tell his buddy, Noya, that he's a dickhead.
Nice.
So, yeah.
He sure is. Yeah.
There you go. But Mason, on to the Ray Fisher news.
Okay, yeah.
Which you spoiled.
I didn't spoil it.
It's been reported that Ray Fisher will play Victor Stone, a.k.a.
Cyborgs.
Cyborgs?
Just Cyborgs.
Just Cyborgs. Just the one Cyborgs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not 100% confirmed, but apparently it's going to be a small cameo role, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yep.
He's a theatre actor. So he hasn't done a lot of kind of mainstreamy kind of stuff, but that means he's probably got the chops.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
His first appearance will probably be a building collapsing on him. if Man of Steel is anything to go by.
Which it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but they say it's not a major role, but it will develop in future films. Probably a Justice League. You might get a spin-off eventually. You never know.
Yeah, they're really pushing Cyborg in Justice League now.
Aren't they? Yeah. Why is that?
Probably a distinct lack of African-American characters in Justice League.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for a lot of years, Martian Manhunter was the black guy, right? When you think about it. And he transformed into a white guy. His alter ego was a white guy. But he was the default de facto black guy in Justice League. So I'm glad that they're finally...
Yeah. Do you like the character of Cyborg?
I do. He's not had a good representation on film. I mean, the guy who did it in Smallville was good, but...
You said he was all internal, is that right?
Yeah, he's all it. Like... In Smallville, he was just like you... He looked just like a regular guy, but he had, you know, when he was Clark X-rayed him, he had some cyborg parts on the inside.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I want.
No.
I want the exoskeleton. I want the...
You want a real good made-for-TV exoskeleton.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, I want maybe Kryptonian technology or something like that. I want the morphing battle armor with the guns and the thing.
Do you want the thing like in Justice League War where he grabs his dad's science experiment out of the electrical box?
No, that was dumb. But I want,
because he wouldn't come to his football game.
Yeah, you know, he's betrayed in Injustice.
He is betrayed.
No, portrayed.
He's betrayed.
Okay, he's betrayed. But also, he looks great in that. And he's got all the morphing weapons and stuff like that. So,
and you fight an evil version.
That's what I want.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Pull out all the stops for this film. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. Not Batman vs. Superman.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think it's...
Retain some stops.
Sure. What I think is good about that character is that he brings something different to the team. Because Batman's kind of...
Football skills.
Know-how. But he brings, he's got that technology.
Sonic guns. Actually, Batman probably has a few of those.
I'm sure he does. But, you know, Batman was kind of the techie guy, but this guy kind of like, I'm breaking into the UN in my mind or whatever. Let's open this door or whatever. So he brings something that the others don't bring. So, you know, I'm all for it.
Me too.
It's been rumored that Jason Momoa has been cast as Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, that works.
So a few weeks back, he told IGN when they asked him, hey, are you going to be in... anything DC upcoming? And he said, it's just rumors. It's flattering. I want to say something amazing, but I can't comment on rumors, which makes me think that,
this
is could very well be true. So yeah, Jason Momoa, Aquaman.
That totally works.
Do you think they'll blonde him up? Cause he's not a blonde.
I was just wondering if they'd blonde him up. Yeah, they'd have to, right?
Yeah, I think they'd have to blonde him up.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that Marvel aren't pushing like a Namor before Justice League get Aquaman out.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
Because it's really kind of like whoever will get that out will be like the king of fish. The king of fish.
Yeah.
Right.
The fishy king.
Yeah.
How do you sell Atlanteans in the Marvel universe when they've never made any appearances?
Mm.
Like there's, because I mean, he's been around since World War II.
Yeah.
But he's not, they've not shown him in any, they should have given him a cameo in Captain America.
Yeah, they probably should have.
Yeah,
the original one.
Yeah, sure.
Is he ageless or something? Is that right? Is that how that works?
No, he's very long lived though.
Yeah.
And he's got wings on his feet.
Like a fish.
Yeah. So he can fly like a fish. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's two things that we're for.
Mm.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Now, Arthur J. Bing, he's a guy who wrote in this week, he wrote this very lovely email. A number of ideas and suggestions and thoughts and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But he said, he mentioned that The Rock should be Aquaman, which I think would have worked as well.
The Rock could be Namor.
Yeah. No, he's saying for the DC.
Well, I'm saying he can do both. Who's to say you can't do both?
I'm saying it.
Okay, fine.
But he'd like to know our thoughts on like casting and comic book stories, etc., that we'd love to see in the Justice League movie. So uh-huh. I thought maybe in upcoming weeks, at Arthur J. Bing's request,
uh-huh.
and, you know, whatevs, that maybe we should do something like
that.
Is
this some sort of subtle cross promotion for Bing?
Yes, it is. This is the Amazing Spider-Man of podcasts.
Excellent, good.
Unnecessary Bing promotion.
Now, this is probably not a spoiler, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
Does he finally move to Google in Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Absolutely, he does.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
I think good. I mentioned that in the commentary. Did good. I? I don't know.
Wasn't listening.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Irrelevant. So I think we should do that. But this week, Mason, mm-hmm. as I mentioned briefly last week, I thought we could go through some cancelled comic book movie projects.
Okay.
There are a lot of these. So I decided not to do all this episode.
Uh-huh.
I've picked four major ones.
Yep.
And we'll maybe do a few other episodes on this. Because I'd rather talk about them for way too long.
Absolutely, yeah.
Than
yeah,
rush yeah. through them. You know what I mean? So are you for this?
Yeah, I'm absolutely for this.
Is there any in particular that you wish you'd seen before we start?
No.
You're happy they're all cancelled?
Yes. No, cool. I'm actually not super familiar with any of these.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah, yeah,
well, so. You're in for a treat. Mate.
I'm absolutely ready for. I'm going to listen along with the other listeners. You know.
All right. The first.
I'm
one,
the point of view character in this.
Absolutely.
In this podcast. There are, I'm just a regular Joe, and all this crazy stuff's happening around me. You know.
Absolutely. This first one. Oh, these aren't in any chronological order either.
Okay,
I kind of jump around. I'm here. I'm there, Mason.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm everywhere.
Hmm.
This first one's for Justice League Mortal, which was George Miller, who directed Mad Max and a bunch of other stuff. I think he directed Babe 2,
Pig in the City,
but he produced the first one or something
okay,
like
sure.
that. Very famous Australian director.
Uh-huh.
Now, in 2007, there were a number of people cast. You may be familiar with this. DJ Quatrona was cast as Superman. He ended up appearing in G.I. Joe Retaliation
uh-huh.
as someone in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Great.
Armie Hammer was Batman, famously.
That's right, yeah. That was before we knew who Armie Hammer was.
That's exactly
all we
right.
knew was that his name sounded like Arm & Hammer,
yeah.
which is a brand of baking soda.
And I remember the time he was like 24 or 25 and me going, what? That's
yeah.
too young for a Batman. Because all this was an established Justice League team.
Right.
That was the idea as uh-huh. well. They've been doing this yeah, for yeah. a while. Megan Gale, Australian supermodel. Was
as
cast
Wonder
as Wonder Woman.
Nice.
That's it.
Okay, good.
Common was Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm presuming they were going with the John Stewart Green Lantern.
Uh-huh, sure.
Right? That makes sense.
No, it's Guy Gardner.
Sure.
Going to give him red hair.
And Adam Brody was cast as the Flash. among others.
Adam Brody from The O.C.
Yes.
Okay, that works. We've been this on is a great cast.
Is it?
Yeah.
What about the Superman?
I have no... What's his name again?
DJ Cotrona. Cotrona.
Well, the first result says DJ Cotrona shirtless. So I'm going to say...
That's a good sign.
Yeah, he looks kind of... He looks Superman-y. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've seen JoJo Retaliation, which you may or may not, if you have, you probably wouldn't remember.
He's not a good actor?
No, he's fine, but he's not really... Well, Superman isn't really a main player in this as well. The main character in this is actually The Flash. Or sort of... I'll explain.
Okay, good.
Okay, so basically this story was influenced by the Tower of Babel, Babel? Yeah. How do you say it?
I say Tower of Babel.
Good. Now, Batman creates something called Brother Eye, which is a program that watches over all metahumans and can wipe anyone out at any point.
I'm familiar with what it is.
Sorry.
It's the OMAC project.
Exactly.
One-man army corps, but that's not what it is anymore.
Well, interestingly enough, well, I'll come back to that. Now, the main villain in this was Lord Maxwell, who was not an incredibly famous DC villain. Maxwell Lord, sorry. Is it?
Yeah, it's Maxwell Lord.
Are you sure?
Yes, he was the head of the Justice League Europe.
You've made a mistake here, haven't you?
I have, haven't I? You're right, yeah.
Guess who plays him? You're not going to get that, I'll just
Gilbert
tell you.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, okay. That's weird.
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't strike me. No, okay. All right. Yeah,
Seth Rogen's good friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. He was a corporate kind of type in Robocop.
Yeah, okay. He was just in marketing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, he would have been very young then, wouldn't he? Yeah, but yeah, he uses Brother Eye against the League. And he also, on his side, he's got Talia al Ghul.
Yep.
Sprayed by Teresa Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You may know from something. And the OMACs are in it as well. And at one point, apparently, Maxwell Lord changes into one of the OMACs, which is like, you know, they're like cyborgy type men who are up against whatever and whatever. Very famous DC villains, I guess.
Well, they were for a long time. They were in Infinite Crisis, yeah.
Ah, sure.
The Maxwell Lord is a character who... He's a character that took a took an inexplicably evil turn for no reason.
Okay.
Like he was the financial backer for Justice League Europe and Justice League International, which were kind of the comic relief Justice Leagues. And he had like during the invasion storyline in the '80s, he got like some telekinetic powers.
Right, yep.
And then he became a cyborg.
Good, good.
And then he wasn't a cyborg anymore, and then he became evil for no reason.
So initially, how long was he a good guy for?
Years and years, like decades.
4 years, huh?
At least that. Yeah, I guess that works in the, because a lot of comic book movies have a guy going insane for no reason.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That totally works.
It's required.
But yeah, it was a very inexplicable character change.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently that works into it as well. Like he was one of the founding members or whatever, or one of the backers. And you would have thought they would have gone with Lex Luthor, but I guess that's an interesting way to do it. Mm. There is a script online for this, by the way, if anybody wants to read it.
Uh-huh.
Go do that.
Just PayPal us some money and we'll send it to you.
Now, Warner Brothers at one point, this is the height of mocap technology.
Uh-huh.
Warner Brothers considered making it mocap, you know, like Beowulf.
The whole thing. Wow.
That would have been...
I want to see that.
That would have been good. Did you see Beowulf?
No.
Tough watch.
Because it looked terrible.
Yes.
But I'd like to see this. But now that I've... Talking about Armie Hammer, that I've... seen him in things.
Yeah.
He would have been a great Batman.
I agree.
Yeah.
But now from that, I don't think, and maybe probably because of Lone Ranger or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to put him, they're not going to make him Batman.
No.
But he absolutely plays as Batman, I think. He's got the look, you know?
Yeah.
He was in that movie about Facebook.
Yep.
He was Herbert Facebook.
He was Herbert Facebook, founder of Facebook, yeah.
Now, what was I going to say? Barry Allen, he joins an established Justice League cast.
Okay.
I'm going to spoil this, by the way.
So he's the everyman.
He's the everyman, exactly. Right. So he's kind of like our window in, which you kind of need for a movie like this. First, you need that person to ask the questions, to be what's this? Who are you? What's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
It's because you've also got like Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. And that's someone you really need to explain.
Right.
You know, to some extent. To somebody who doesn't know...
Well, you won't believe this, but he was teleported from Mars by a scientist who died straight away. And then his teleporting machine didn't work anymore, so he decided to become a private detective. He turns into that white private detective over there. He's our black friend. Yeah,
wave to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the time as well. There was going to be two Batmans at once. Because Christian Bale refused to be a part of it, and Nolan wanted Batman for his own universe.
Right, okay.
Which at that point was only Batman Begins.
Uh-huh.
So at that point as well... You could have worked in kind of supernatural, kind of science fiction-y kind of elements into that Batman universe.
Because
it was early days. Yeah. It was only kind of like The Dark Knight, where it was established there is no unworldly elements to this universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It, there, he's just a cop. You know?
It's as gritty as it can get.
It's as gritty as you would want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatevs. So yeah, we'd have had two Batmans at once, which would have been weird. And I know that was a thing that people found weird at the time. People were like, that's only one Batman, I'll kill you. You know, all that kind of
stuff.
People
have thoughts and feelings about these things. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, because I remember being against it. I'm like, oh, Christian Bale's pretty good at this. But then it would have been a better Batman voice. I don't know what Armie Hammer's Armie Hammer's Batman voice is like, but it'd be better.
Sure. Yeah. They also couldn't get Brandon Routh to reprise his Superman role, meaning that if they did, this whole thing would have been in the Richard Donner Superman universe.
Oh.
Which is your favourite Superman universe.
No, it's not. It's the dullest universe, certainly.
Duller than Smallville?
Yes. Much duller than Smallville.
Duller than Dean Cain's Superman?
Duller than that, yeah.
Duller than Superboy?
Probably on par.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, also, I thought there was bits like this that were interesting. When the OMAX approached the city, the Justice League prioritized protecting civilians, which was kind of something missing from Man of Steel.
Yeah, yeah.
There are elements to this story which are quite good.
Quickly, the civilians need some cover. Knock over all the skyscrapers. I don't care there are people in the skyscrapers.
You're not bloody hearing me!
Yeah.
Now, Wonder Woman is also the only hero that Maxwell Lord isn't able to defeat. And so he also pits a mind-controlled Superman against her, and she kicks the shit out of Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And Maxwell Lord is quoted as saying, I've got Lord Maxwell written here every time.
Yeah, that's odd.
I don't know. Not even Superman could take you out. Amazing. And that would have been a great way to see Wonder Woman, I think.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about Megan Gale's acting ability. She's a very famous Australian celebrity, isn't she?
Yes.
But I don't know if anybody else in the world knows who she is. She looks like Wonder Woman, though.
Absolutely, she does.
Wasn't going to say. And also, the movie opens with the Justice League minus Batman carrying a coffin of a dead Justice League member. And they're all in uniform.
Oh, twist.
So,
what's the twist?
Because Batman's not there. Everybody, I said I was going to spoil this.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
It would be assumed at the start that it was Batman. But it's a different Flash who's carrying the coffin. And it's Batman watching from a distance. So Barry Allen actually dies in this movie sacrificing himself.
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Exactly.
But forward.
But forward, yes.
Forward
and
time.
He's also turned into one of those OMAX, or almanac, whatever they're...
He gets turned into a sports almanac, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, Mason, this did not happen, this movie. I know you're devastated.
I remember watching it. It's weird.
There was a writer's strike at the time. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
That
ruined a lot of stuff.
The Bond, second Bond movie.
Terrible. Iron Man 2, was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of stuff. But also there was something to do with, there was an Australian tax break at the time, which the film could have got. It was going to film in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And then that thing kind of, it didn't work out a certain way. I can't remember whether the Australian government took it away or whatever. It's weird. Australian government seems to be actively against getting people to film here. Like, New Zealand have all sorts of tax breaks and benefits to filming in New Zealand, but it's not the case here. It used to be, because we had like the Matrix films filmed here. I think all of them. Was it all of them? I don't know.
Yeah, it was all
of them. At least,
okay,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, like, Superman Returns was filmed here. Mission Impossible 2, which I think was also set here.
Yeah, some of it, yeah, yeah.
A lot of masks in that movie.
Yeah, but so many. Yeah, I don't know. The Australian government seems...
like a pack of dickheads.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they also have to put in some... you have to put significant Australian content
in
order to get the really good tax breaks, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'd have to put Captain Boomerang in, obviously.
But the thing is as well, Star Wars was also filmed here.
Yep.
Two of the Star Wars prequels, the second two. I find when I watch something filmed in Australia, it's very distracting. Because I can pick...
because of all the actors
I can
who
pick
clearly have
every,
Australian accents.
Yeah.
Fake American accents, yeah.
Either know who they are or I can pick their accent immediately. Yeah. So, but hey, that's just my personal... that's my problem, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. You got a lot of problems.
Now, Mason, I got some bonus trivia
to add. Yeah.
I've got here, bonus trivia, ! I was going to shout it, but I probably don't got to.
Okay.
At the end, Batman is the one who snaps Maxwell Lord's neck.
Ah, because in the comic books it was Wonder Woman.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of shown on, like, it's shown on television.
Cool.
And so people are upset.
But, so do you think they didn't want to make the Wonder Woman character that kind of bloodthirsty that she would do
probably,
that?
Probably, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's obviously more fitting with her than it would be Batman.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Do you think that's why that carries over to Man of Steel?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, yeah. That's just on the whiteboard in the Warner Brothers offices. Somebody's neck's getting snapped. We don't care who. This is happening. I'm the president of Warner Brothers. John Brothers. And
John Brothers.
And I want somebody's neck snapped on it in a children's film. That's what I want.
What is it? I reckon this is definitely carried over.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because it's a very definitive kind of moment and it defines a character or whatever. So, like, we really want to use this at some point.
Uh-huh.
So I guess we'll just give it to Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd rather Superman do it than Batman in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah.
Though it would be pretty awesome to see Batman just snap a guy's neck.
Yep. Yeah, I guess that's the...
He's never done anything like that, though,
no,
really, has he?
Because that's the... I guess that's the most... Like, a lot of people die in these films, so that's kind of the most brutal, close-in way to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Besides the punch through the head, which we haven't seen yet, which no. I guess they're saving for Man of Steel 2.
Oh,
right?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like to see Jay Baruchel's neck snapped?
I'd like to see a punch through his head. He seems like a nice guy, but just... He'd be on board with that. Right?
Absolutely
yeah,
would.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
He loves it. Mm. There was all sorts of the cast were kitted out with uniforms and this and all sorts of stuff. There's like some photos came recently with the whole cast standing together and a
interesting
photo taken.
And that's not Photoshop. That's the real thing.
That's the real thing, baby. Wow. You know it. One more piece of bonus trivia for you, Mason.
Yep.
Stephen Tobolowsky was going to be Alfred.
Oh, I'm on board with that.
Me too.
Yep.
Not British. I don't care.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's probably got some accents in him.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
You know he has. So, yeah. So, is that something that you want to see or would have wanted to
see? I want to see every single element of that. I want to see it live. I would like to see... I want to see those costumes.
Yeah.
I want to see the weird mo-capped version. Like, if they can release that, like, on Blu-ray and it's a double disc or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's live action and... weird mocap version. I would see both of those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's a dream. That dream is never going to become a reality, Mason. This is very much dead in the water. We are getting a Justice League movie, but I'd imagine if the script is leaked for this, none of this is going to carry.
No, exactly.
Carry over. So yeah, no more neck snapping for you.
Bah,
indeed. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I'm sad that didn't happen.
Yeah,
it sounds great. I want to see Armie Hammer as Batman.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You don't want to see Ben Affleck as Batman?
Oh yeah, that's happening, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, for now.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
These things have a habit of
cancelling.
But I think this one for real we're going to get. There was also another Batman vs. Superman movie, Mason.
Yes.
That I'm not going to talk about today.
Okay, good.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Magneto solo film. It was called X-Men Origins Magneto.
Because they were going to do a whole series of these
they
before
sure were.
Wolverine sunk it.
Before Wolverine
did
really...
Did that make money?
In its opening weekend, it made $87 million.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah, initially something would.
And in the second weekend, $0.
$0, yeah. So I'm not surprised that they didn't make this movie. Because the Magneto movie very much hinged on the success of Wolverine.
Right.
Who else do you make, though? You do Magneto, you do Wolverine. Who else do you do?
Cyclops is too boring.
Yes.
Nothing happened to Rogue before X-Men 1.
No.
So boring.
Storm?
Yeah, Storm would work.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah, because she's got an interesting origin in the... wherever she's from.
Mystique?
Well, Mystique we kind of got with First Class, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of... They've...
They are talking about a Mystique spin-off movie, though.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last
week. Oh, we did. That's it, yeah.
Spy movie. I'm on board with that. Yeah, 60s spy movie.
I think what makes Magneto... Magneto is a fascinating character.
Uh-huh.
And they've got two... And the good thing is they've got two great actors who can portray him now from different time periods.
Yep.
The idea for this one, though, Sheldon Turner was hired by 20th Century Fox to draft a spin-off X-Men film in 2004. It was pitched as The Pianist Meets X-Men.
Great.
So, you know...
The Adrian Brody film.
The Adrian Brody film.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking The Piano with What's-Her-Face Rogue in it.
Sure, yeah. What's-Her-Face Rogue. Mm. That's her name.
Yeah.
Now, the original X-Men film...
Anna Paquin, there we go.
Yeah, that's her name. You know, the original X-Men film began with the prologue and it showed Magneto as a child in the concentration camp.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That was the period that this film would start. So that was the time and place where that would begin.
Yeah.
We did see that, of course, that whole six.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff has been folded into First Class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. The original storyline would also heavily involve Professor X, saying that the character of Professor X was a soldier in the Allied forces that liberated concentration camps across Europe. The X-Men timeline is all over the
place.
Shop,
yeah,
isn't
it?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
How old
is
he supposed to be?
It's a really good question.
Because in 99, the first X-Men is set in the near
future. Which I assumed would be like 2000. I assumed it would be like a
2005, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, they had that wicked hologrammy table or something in it.
Yeah, they did. They had the hologram table.
Yeah,
sure.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Now, also, the professor meets Magneto after the war, and they bond over the realization that they're alike in their special powers, mm-hmm. and their differences soon turn them into enemies. again, that's something that we saw in
First Class. Yeah.
First Class, exactly. Now, although there was a script on hand, producer Lauren Shuler Donner said in April 2009 that whether or not the film gets made or not is still uncertain, and that would partly depend on how well Wolverine Origins did in theaters and the overall reaction to it.
Yep.
That movie, I think, made more than First Class. But I think what happened there, people weren't wrapped in X-Men 3. I think it's okay. It's not great.
Yep.
People hated Wolverine Origins. And then when First Class rolled around, people were like,
Yeah.
Even though I think First Class is probably the best X-Men movie.
It's one of the best, yeah.
So there you go.
X-Men Origins, one-inch spike guy. The guy that can just pop out all those one-inch spikes in X-Men 3. I'd watch that.
Yeah, so threatening.
Gambit, would you watch an X-Men Origins Gambit?
Yeah, you know what? I would. But why does it have to be in Origins? Why not just make them solo movies?
Yeah, yeah.
Because so many of these would work as solo movies. I mean, I'd watch a movie where Cyclops goes and does a thing.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think, what's his name who plays him? James Marsden, or whatever his name is. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
I know people don't love the character of Cyclops, whatever, but you can make anything interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He doesn't have a lot of depth in the movies because they haven't written him with a lot of depth in the movies.
Yeah.
So,
Gene!
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. We need, look, Captain America 2 proved that people love,
people being hit with shields.
Yeah, but geometry-based combat, you know? A lot of shield flinging or whatever. And you know who's great at geometry-based combat? Cyclops.
Yes.
He'll do all kinds of trick shots. We don't see that in the movies.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. In the cartoon...
Trick shots.
Am I right in assuming that he can just fire those laser beams without touching the thing on the side of his head? He just seems to pull his arms down by his side and flex.
Well, some versions of Cyclops... Cyclops.
Yeah, Cyclops.
The... some versions... And by some versions, I mean not the dumb versions, have like a thumb trigger.
Oh, okay,
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because if his hands are incapacitated or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
There he goes. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. There you go. David S. Goyer, who directed Blade Trinity, your favorite Blade movie.
Uh-huh, sure.
Right? He was hired to direct in 2007 also. Mm. Obviously, none of this happened. The story was also moved forward to 1961 and involves Xavier and Magneto battling a villain together, which is, again, we saw in...
First Class. Yep.
And in August 2010, it was announced that the film would almost certainly not be made as much as the story was incorporated into First Class. But Bryan Singer and Sheldon Turner were given story credit for their work on the film. Which makes sense, because Bryan Singer, of course, did something to do with X-Men. And Sheldon wrote the thing that I said.
Sure.
So, you know.
So what, they've just got it on their mantelpiece.
Yes.
It's a bit of wood that says story credit for X-Men Origins Magneto.
Well done. Well done, guys. Participation award.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Now, bonus trivia.
I'm ready.
Ian McKellen said that in 2006 that he planned to reprise the role using digitized.
Sure, all those.
Facelift. You know, that whole de-aging thing they did in X-Men 3?
That worked really well.
Yeah, and it's also... there's even a worse version of it in Wolverine Origins with Professor X at the end.
Yeah.
So there you go. It was also then said that the role was going to be recast and that Ian McKellen would bookend the movie with, cameos and it'd be like, okay. I remember a time when I was blah, blah, blah.
Like young Indiana Jones.
Just like young Indiana Jones. Have you seen that episode of Young Indiana Jones with Harrison Ford?
It's been a long time, but yes.
It's so good. Mm. For those who haven't seen it, some villains bust in at the end and they steal some artifact from Indiana Jones, who's sitting there playing a tiny saxophone. And then, this is real. You can look this up. This is real.
That'll be on YouTube.
Absolutely.
If any element of young Indiana Jones survived, it'll be that on YouTube.
He's got a beard because he filmed at the same time as The Fugitive.
Right.
And then his Native American buddy is like, oh, Indiana Jones, they're getting away with whatever artifact we have. And Indiana Jones is like, don't worry, I got a feeling everything will work out. And as the guys go to leave, he plays a particular note on the saxophone and it causes the snow from the roof to fall and collapse on them as they leave. And he's like, justice be done or something.
Wow. I don't remember that.
Indiana Jones' classic catchphrase.
Yeah, justice be done. Yeah.
And then he walks out and he grabs it and the music plays.
That is a classic move of Indiana Jones. Remember that time that giant boulder was following him down the hallway and he played his saxophone and he got out of that mess?
I remember that. Yeah.
Remember that time him and his dad were tied together on that chair and it kept spinning around in the secret Nazi war room or whatever and they weren't going to get him, and then he played the saxophone and he got out of that situation.
I remember that. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, we could go. We could talk all day about the situations that Indiana Jones got out of by using his saxophone.
Remember
skills.
The time when he had to pick the right grail,
but he
just played the saxophone.
And it was fine.
And then his dad came back to life or whatever.
That. It was great, yeah.
All classic memories.
Yeah, so good.
So, yeah, I've also got one more. Rob Liefeld. Everybody's favorite comic book artist.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who everybody hates. Mm. He said, a Magneto solo film is currently in development at Fox.
I'm controlling the concept drawing of the feet, he said. And then it never happened.
So, yeah, that's still happening. Just not necessarily an Origins movie, but yeah. Mm. I'd love to see like something that happened before First Class. There's a very good scene in First Class where he goes and hunts down some Nazis.
Yeah,
Magneto. Going across Europe, just killing Nazis.
Oh, Magneto
How
Nazi.
How good would that
How about
be?
This? Quentin Tarantino's Magneto Nazi killer.
Yes. That would be amazing. There you go. So, yeah. Want to see it or not see it, Mason? Bearing in mind, we did kind of see it.
We did kind of see it. No, I want to see the. I don't want to see him. Not the version you put there, but the trekking across Europe killing Nazis. I would definitely
Absolutely.
See that. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I also want to see that.
Mm.
I just love that guy who plays him, though. Well, both of them, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, you.
How about a mocap version where they try to combine the faces of Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender just together and look real creepy?
Where have I heard
Dead
that
eyes.
Being happened before, where they were talking about merging someone's face? Yeah, there were rumors.
Yes.
When Star Wars was beginning,
uh-huh.
the Phantom Menace. This is just a rumor
uh-huh.
that they were going to get Alec Guinness's face and superimpose it onto
Ewan McGregor,
or whoever the actor was going
right.
to be.
David Prowse, probably.
Sure.
Oh, I get another role in Star Wars. Okay, I guess I'll do it if I get to play. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, Prowse is at it again. I'm back.
Prowse is back.
David Prowse comes up a lot on this podcast.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. We should send him an email.
We should get him as a guest.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nah, forget it. Let's get him as a guest and then put somebody else's voice over the top.
Yes.
That'd be hilarious.
Now, remember at the start when I said I had four movies we were going to talk about today?
Uh-huh.
I've actually got three, so...
What happened to that last one?
Have
you decided
know.
It's not worth it?
I just didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
I thought I did
That's
four.
All right. All we do is we go back, when you do the edit, just get David Prowse's voice saying three and put it over you saying four. He'll finally get the recognition that he deserves.
Are you familiar with Superman Flyby?
No.
J.J. Abrams. When he was
King
writing...
King of the Lens Flares.
King of the Lens Flares. When he was writing a number of TV projects, including Alias, he was drafted by Warner Brothers
uh-huh.
to write a
What, against his will?
Yes, against his will. to
Oh, man, he gets the letter.
to pen a version of Superman.
Oh, should I pretend I have asthma, maybe? No, I have polio. I'll get out of this. Won't have to write a dumb Superman film.
Now, originally, of course, McGee was famously going to direct.
McGee?
That's right. Yep. He, of course, dropped out to do Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen either of those movies. They'd made a lot of money, but they're not good, right? People don't remember them fondly.
No, I don't. I think I've seen the first one, and I don't remember it fondly
sure.
at all. Yeah. Crispin Glover's in it, though.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Yeah, it's real weird.
Yeah. He's also in Beowulf. He's like a mocap monster.
Yeah, he's of sure course is. He's a mocap monster. He's the original mocap monster.
Now, I know that you're
thinking... He provides that sports almanac we were talking about earlier.
That's right. Yeah. Now, I know you're thinking, is there a director who could live up to the McGee name who they could get on board?
Uh-huh.
You got any ideas?
Is it X-Men 3 guy?
Is
that
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Brett Ratner.
There we go.
They got Brett...
The Rat.
The Rat. They got Brett Ratner aboard, and then he dropped out for whatever reasons, and McGee came back on.
There was now, a fighting contest?
I don't know what happened.
Okay.
But basically, the information I'm going to give here, bear in mind, it's from multiple scripts.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to find any kind of concrete information on this without reading the actual script, because, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
am
yeah
I?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Superman Flyby.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought originally when I read it, it was Superman Flyboy.
Okay,
but I just
yeah. Maybe it is,
that.
Though.
No, it's not.
Is this a Lord Maxwell situation?
It may
Maybe
very
it
well be.
Okay.
So, yeah. Now, he turned in a script in 2002, and it was an origin story that included Krypton being besieged in civil war between Jor-El and his corrupt brother, Kata Zor.
Yeah.
I guess they're brothers?
Can't be. Different last
syllable.
No,
that's
syllable.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Now, before Kata Zor sentences Jor-El to prison, Kal-El is launched into space to Earth to fulfill a prophecy. I don't like all the Superman prophecy shit.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he's not sent here for a reason. They simply send him here as a safe haven.
Yeah, yeah.
to be looked to grow up as a normal
kid. Hey, these guys look like Kryptonians. Let's send him here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They weren't like, you'll be the best guy ever and you'll lead them to victory and you're son of a god and whatever. Mm. I don't like all that. Because I like the fact that Superman, if you take him away from Earth and you put him back on Krypton, he's just a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing special about him. He's not... And that's the mistake they made in Man of Steel, I feel, where they're like, he was the only Kryptonian who was natural born for however many generations and whatever. Right, and he's got the Codex in him, which means he's special, and he's basically Space Jesus.
Oh, sure.
But he doesn't need to be any of that. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. We've got a Space Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
He's called Jesus.
I'm going to start a band called Basically Space Jesus.
Yes.
It's going to be lots of 90s covers, I think.
Are you going to cover Hey Jealousy?
I'm definitely going to cover Hey Jealousy, yeah.
All right. Now, Jor-El also specifically picked the Kents to send him to, because they're like, who are the best guys?
Kind of like that.
The Kents.
No, don't like it.
Yeah. So basically, Clark reveals himself to the world as Superman, bringing Kata Zor's son, Ty-Zor, and three other Kryptonians to Earth.
This is a Brett Ratner script. He wrote this
script. No, J.J. Abrams.
Oh, okay,
I'm sure there was input back and forth or whatever, but yeah. Superman is actually defeated by these Kryptonians, because they know Kryptonian Kung Fu.
Okay, sure, yeah.
I think the reason they did it like this is because I know that when people saw the Matrix 3 studio executives, they were like, now we can do proper flying fighting.
Right,
because there's
that
flying fighting scene in the Matrix 3, which doesn't look that great, let's be honest.
Not at all, no.
But they were like, and so I think a lot of that, like, well, if we're going to do flying fighting, we've got to do Kung Fu. So let's say they can do Kryptonian Kung
Fu
or whatever. So basically, Superman is defeated and killed.
Huh.
Right?
Yep.
But luckily, though... Well, I guess luckily.
Yeah.
Jor-El, who's still alive on Krypton, by the way. Krypton has not exploded.
Yes.
Bear that in mind.
Okay, sure.
No, not at all. It does not explode.
Huh.
When he hears that his son has died, he commits ritualistic suicide while in prison.
Ooh.
Right?
It's unpleasant.
And then both of them meet up in Kryptonian heaven.
I think that happened in the Death of Superman storyline.
Did it?
Yeah. They met in heaven.
I don't remember.
I remember. No, I definitely remember that.
Okay.
Because I think Pa Kent had a heart attack.
Right.
And he went, I'm going to look it up, but
wait,
continue.
You're talking Pa Kent or you're talking Jor-El?
Pa Kent did.
No, this is Jor-El.
Yeah, Jor-El. Yeah. Okay, right. There must be some sort of like a random plot, like a random movie plot generator where somebody over the decades has just been cataloging all the comic book plots and elements, and they just push a button and just a random assortment of things.
They're like,
well,
we're doing the next snap.
Exactly.
That's priority number one.
Yeah.
The next snap.
Okay, this is just from the Wikipedia page, which I haven't looked at yet because it's probably very long, but it just says ... a heart attack after the Death of Superman storyline, comma, and he meets Clark in the ... So I assume that's heaven, the afterlife, whatever.
So Pa Kent meets
him
in heaven.
Has a heart attack. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Not
your own.
Okay, gotcha. Pa Kent
commits ritual suicide at the Kent farm just because, just as a goof, you know?
Now, Superman is then resurrected
because
he's the chosen one.
So,
Harry Potter syndrome.
I was going to say Transformers 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf was the chosen one, wasn't he? Because he was the best Transformer.
Uh-huh.
Is that what happened there?
Probably, yeah.
Where he returns to Earth. And, oh, by the way, what's Kryptonian heaven like? What's going on there?
A lot of robes. No, there was just a lot of clouds. Okay. It was very generic. I'm not sure where it was, I'll
just
be honest.
Standard heaven stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, sure. He returns to Earth and he defeats the four Kryptonians.
Uh-huh.
With the end of the script.
Did he learn Kryptonian Kung Fu?
Yeah, he knew
heaven?
It then. He came back and he knew it for whatever reason.
Wow, this sounds really good.
So the movie ends with a cliffhanger where Superman goes off to Krypton to find it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
I'm not finished.
Oh, good.
Well, I am finished, but I've got a whole lot of casting stuff that I could run
through.
Here's some Superman casting.
See, this does sound terrible.
Yeah.
In this world where we can just pluck any film out of the ether and have it made and in front of us.
Yeah.
Like, I do want to see that.
Yeah.
But if we were making this podcast and we had to suffer through weeks and weeks of news about this thing being made and all these terrible choices and all these script reveals that are clearly awful, I would hate it. And I would go into the film hating it. But if you're just like, hey, well, let's go into the parallel universe and watch that movie because it's just been made, I'd be like, this is great.
Yeah, you're right.
This is great how bad this is.
Do you think all this publicity and build-up and stuff is ruining movies for everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Way to stick to your guns there.
Thank you.
Superman casting. Josh Hartnett offered $100 million for a three-picture deal.
Wow.
Yeah. Turned it down.
Huh.
Didn't want to be typecast. Because that's a 10-year commitment, isn't it?
For $100 million, though.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What an idiot.
Well, they didn't make it anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Man, he should have got some sort of pay-or-play contract there. Where if,
didn't Nick Cage do that?
Yeah, somebody did.
I'm sure Nick Cage got for paid Superman Lives, regardless.
Yeah, so he'd be like, look, $100 million, or look, I'll just take 50 if it doesn't get made.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah, this is gonna happen.
Yeah. $50 million. We've got him.
Yeah, yeah.
We've bloody got Hartnett, haven't we?
We've got Hartnett, yeah.
Jude Law was also
considered. We got Slevin from Lucky Number Slevin.
Jude Law, considered. He was actually also, Bryan Singer wanted him for Zod in Superman Returns.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, me too. He's definitely more Zod than he is.
He'd have to stand on a box, probably.
He's tall,
isn't he? Stand on a box.
Yeah.
No, because he doesn't look. Does he seem threatening to you?
Well, original Zod's kind of thin, though, isn't he? The guy who plays him. What's his name? Morgan Freeman? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Chris Reeve was to consult, and he wanted Tom Welling for the role.
Yeah, okay.
I know Tom Welling is screen-tested for a few of the Superman roles.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've heard, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd ever cast him. Well, he's probably getting too old. No, he's probably not that old, anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that people don't want to draw the comparison. They want to start fresh. Even though he lives on in the comics, in our hearts, and he also lives on in real life. Tom Welling is alive.
He's still alive, isn't he? Yes. Yeah, he's probably doing great things. He's probably a super nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Paul Walker was also offered the role.
Yeah, okay, yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Do you think people have come around more to Paul Walker now that he's dead? I hate to bring it up, but do you think it's one of those scenarios where...
No, I think everybody's always been on board with Paul
Walker. I always liked Paul Walker. Yeah.
No, but I can't think of any, like, Paul Walker's, you know, causing a ruckus or whatever.
Nah.
Paul Walker's bloody, you know, got drunk and smashed up a hotel. He's never done any of that.
You're right, yeah. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Sucks he's dead.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser auditioned, as did Matt Bomer.
Okay.
Matt Bomer's that guy. I've talked about him before. He looks exactly like Superman.
Uh-huh.
I think he was even cast as Superman in a later McG version of this, or...
McG!
Yes, McG.
It's all right, we can get him as like a YouTube short film.
Yes, that's
Superman
right.
At some point.
Yeah, yeah. But
he punished Dirty Laundry style.
I think he voiced animated Superman in one of the movies, the ones where he faces Brainiac.
Okay.
I might be wrong. But he's great. They also auditioned Henry Cavill.
He
would have been very young at the time,
but
that footage exists, and there's pictures of him in the outfit online. He looks much younger. He's definitely better for it now.
Uh-huh.
Ashton Kutcher screen tested.
No.
But decided not to take it. I'm sure that's what happened. I'm sure he was the one that turned it down. But he says basically because it conflicted with That 70s Show. Look, if you're doing That 70s Show, that's a great show for whatever, for the time,
mm-hmm.
but you would leave that to play Superman. Topher Grace left That 70s Show to play Venom.
Huh.
But also he was scared of being Superman cursed.
Right, exactly. Well, you would be.
You know what? Who believes in curses
or
whatever?
I feel that... No, actually, what I'm saying is with Ashton Kutcher... I think we unfairly malign him for something. I don't know what it is. But like, if you cut his hair, he'd look pretty good as Superman, right?
But I don't think he's got the chops, quite frankly.
You're probably right.
Like, yeah.
But he's always, maybe he's just never got a chance to not be goofy in things.
Jobs. In your Jobs. Face.
Is he good in Jobs?
Apparently not. Okay, I haven't seen it.
Never mind then.
Bloody oath, he looks like him. He bloody nails it though.
Great.
I think I enjoyed the butterfly effect, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Mm. All right.
Victor Webster, you familiar with him? He's from Mutant X, your favorite show of all time.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
he also
right.
auditioned. Uh-huh. David Boreanaz.
Yeah, from Angel.
Angel, yep. He had to not do it for various reasons. He conflicted with other stuff or whatever. And Jerry O'Connell also expressed interest.
Huh.
Jerry O'Connell, what do you think?
Fat kid from Stand By Me.
Yes.
Great.
He has done other things, but that essentially is...
No, he's great in Sliders. Yeah. I was just thinking about Sliders the other day. I'm like, what fun Sliders was.
It was a fun
show for a while.
That was like the Lost of the... No. There's nothing like it,
that's
really,
unfair
is there?
To Sliders, yeah.
It is, you're right. I used to love that show. Yeah. I remember when they went to the dinosaur world and there were some sweet CGI dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Mid-90s CGI dinosaurs.
Yeah, the best kind.
And then Jerry O'Connell left and his brother took over.
Yeah. And then they said that he and his brother were like a combined entity
okay.
in the last season. They're like, look, the main guy who they like the entire crux of the series, he's gone, but he's still here. He's just in somebody else's body or something.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
What
an all-star... audition lineup for that. For a film that never got made.
There's more, Mason. Ooh. That's just for Superman.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Why is it called Superman Flyby?
Because he's just flying by.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, you'd be hanging out some Washington, you'd fly by.
Oh, you'd fly by.
And
sure,
you'd be, someone would say, Superman Flyby'd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that
how
that works?
Yeah, that's exactly how. Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
There'd be a kid, like, reading a Superman comic book, and Superman would fly by and give him a wink, and the kid would be like, oh, my God. You know? It's always one of those.
Christopher Walken, Perry White.
Yes.
The correct answer is amazing, not yes.
Sorry, I apologize. Jesus. Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins as Jor-El. Okay. I remember I saw an interview on Rove Live, which was an Australian talk show. It was like, he's like our Leno, I guess.
Sure,
I think he does some stuff in the States.
Uh-huh.
Where Anthony Hopkins was on, and Anthony Hopkins was like, yeah, I'm playing fucking the guy, Superman's dad. Yeah, that's how he said, that's how he talks.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes, Johnny Depp, and RDJ were considered for Lex Luthor.
All right, yeah.
All of those all right?
Ralph Fiennes at work. We know he's a good bad guy and stuff.
He's a great bad guy. Mm-hmm. He's got the no nose. He cut his nose off for Harry Potter.
Yeah,
that's
totally
how committed he is.
He would have pulled out all his hair by the roots for Lex Luthor.
Scarlett Johansson, Selma Blair as Lois Lane, they say.
Okay.
And Joel Edgerton, who didn't, who's an Australian actor,
Australian,
of course.
Australian. Great.
Love him. Love him.
Yeah.
See Warrior. It's a good movie. He didn't audition for Superman, though. He had the opportunity, but he did audition for Ty-Zor. Which was...
Oh, the made-up villain.
Yeah, the made-up villain.
The made-up cousin of the whatever the thing that you just said.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, it was opted... they wanted to shoot this in New York.
Uh-huh.
And Canada. But Warner Brothers, they wanted Sydney, Australia, because that was when that tax break whole thing was happening.
Yep.
Mick G felt, though, it was appropriate to try and capture the heart of America on... he said it was inappropriate to try and capture the heart of America on another continent.
Mm.
I mean, I guess that kind of shows in Superman Returns, because that doesn't look like anywhere, does it? Like, I know it's supposed to be like a 1930s kind of metropolis-y kind of world, but it all feels like sets. It doesn't feel like
that's
a
city. That's true, you're right.
I don't know,
maybe. But that's deliberate. I mean, you could, if you want a set that looks like New York, you just make some sets that look like New York. There's probably plenty just lying around.
Probably.
That was a deliberate stylistic choice to make.
I don't doubt that.
Like a weird 1930s nowhere universe. That they're all trapped in. Like Limbo.
Yeah.
It's like they're trapped in some sort of oblivion.
There was a plan to... I'm sure they must have talked about merging that in the Bale Batman universe at one point. And that wouldn't have worked at all.
No, because there are some sort of references to Gotham City.
Yeah. Sure, it's in a paper or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Now, McGee later admitted that part of it was that he didn't end up doing it was his fear of flying.
What?
Because he'd have to fly to Australia and whatever to do it.
Oh, he could have taken a boat. Be nice, going on a cruise ship.
Sure. Abrams...
Come on, Wicked G.
Yeah, I know, come on.
How does he get around in America?
He runs. That's why he's so super fit.
Ah, that's a really good point, yeah.
Now, Abrams lobbied for the chance to direct his script, but Warner Brothers said no, basically. And they ended up going with Bryan Singer in July 2004, which ended up being Superman Returns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think J.J. Abrams probably would have done... He would have done a good job, I think. An okay job. He would have done a job.
He sure would have, yeah. He wouldn't have abandoned it halfway through.
Yeah, that's it. But I think that was at the point where J.J. Abrams wasn't proven as a director.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
Now they're giving him all sorts of gigs.
Yeah.
They're giving him Star Trek. They're giving him Star Wars. They're giving him the one about the monster on the train. Train monster. All those. All the good ones. So, yeah. Ratner dropped out of the project, though, in March 2003. I'm kind of jumping around for this.
It's fine.
Blaming casting difficulties and violent disagreements with John Peters.
Oh.
You are familiar with John Peters?
Yeah.
He's the craziest.
Hairdressing's own.
Yeah.
John Peters.
The
sure.
craziest producer in Hollywood.
Allegedly.
Well, no, he is.
Okay, great.
Fuck it, he is.
Yeah.
Basically, he's been trying to produce he produces all the Superman films, all the modern ones.
Uh-huh.
He seems like an absolute lunatic.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Kevin Smith would beg to differ.
Yeah.
That could be the fourth one. Superman... Guys, everybody just look up Kevin Smith Superman on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Kevin Smith has, most people have probably seen it already, but Kevin Smith had a crazy experience attempting to pitch a Superman Lives script.
Yeah. Mm. Also, a lot of that element, though, I think, of that script flow over into Man of Steel. You know, the polar bear?
Giant spider.
Giant spider. Superman fights a giant spider sort of in it. There's also a polar bear in it.
Okay.
You know, John Peters was insistent that there'd be a polar bear.
He fights polar bears.
He fights polar bears for whatever reason. So yeah, I shouldn't pay out John Peters, but I feel like that guy has very little concept of anything.
Right.
Hence, should not be put in charge of anything, especially considering I think he started being Barbara Streisand's hairdresser.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's, I mean, people start from anywhere.
Yeah.
Why am I paying out this guy? I don't know him.
I don't know. It's weird.
Great guy. Change my tune.
Let's make it. Yeah, absolutely.
He makes it. I mean, every story I hear about him is amazing. So I'm glad he exists.
Exactly.
Who am I
kidding?
Mm. Bonus trivia. Ready?
Yeah.
Early versions had Lex Luthor as Kryptonian.
Oh yes, I have. Isn't that part of the Kevin Smith?
No, that's I think it's been floated in a few versions, but basically Lex Luthor is investigating this alien ship, yeah. right? And he's been looking at this ship for like 9 or 10 years, and he's helping the government out. And it turns out at the end that it's his ship. And he's like, okay. I'm from Krypton also!
And then he starts flying about.
And yeah, he also knows Kung Fu.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Space Kung Fu.
Yeah, that is a very Iron Man 3 Mandarin twist, where if you love those characters, you would be up in arms about Absolutely. what they've done there. Just as, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're very casual fan or whatever, you're a very casual movie guy, be like, oh, he's, okay, that's
because they're villains, that makes
yeah,
sense.
That makes sense, yeah. But
they're enemies.
People who actually like the films who are going opening weekend will be like, oh no, the worst.
The final battle also ends with Superman circumnavigating the globe.
Yep.
You know I love some of
and
that.
And then snapping a guy's neck.
No, what he does, there's a giant mech that he fights that someone's inside.
Good.
And he circumnavigates the globe before it can turn around, he flies right through it.
Because
I'm assuming it doesn't have a shield on the back.
That's probably it, yeah.
Does he need to circumnavigate the globe? Can't he just fly over the top?
Yep, maybe straight up and down.
Wouldn't that be quicker?
Probably.
I mean, yeah. I'm not a physician, but that's quicker. Right.
He could even dig under the earth
yep.
for a couple of feet
yep.
and come up the back.
Yep.
Real easy.
Freeze breath him. Only yep. needs to hold him for not even a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Laser vision? What else Laser can he vision. Do? He can throw that cellophane S.
Throw the cellophane S.
Trap
Wrap
it.
Wrap that dude right up.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Also, fire out a tow cable. Go around the guy's legs. Trip him over.
Why aren't we riding?
Shields are weak on the top or something.
Yeah, sure. There's also a scene in one of the versions where Martha Kent is nearly raped by their landlord.
Ugh.
Don't need that, do you?
No. No. I would say that the Superman mythos is almost entirely rape-free, and let's keep it that way.
You're not saying it's to its detriment?
No.
Good.
Yeah.
That was a test.
Okay, good.
McG also approached Shia LaBeouf for Jimmy Olsen.
That works.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah, okay.
Even now, it works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know Shia LaBeouf's like, I'm a leading man now. I'm a serious actor.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not a leading man. I guess you're kind of serious in the sense that nobody takes you seriously.
Yeah.
But you are Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. You know what, though? I kind of like the idea, and it was in All-Star Superman, the idea that Jimmy Olsen is kind of like a cool
He's one of the
guy.
Olsen twins.
Yeah, he's one of the Olsen twins, obviously. But, like, he's kind of a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's kind of... Because he's Superman's friend.
Yeah.
And he's just this guy who just rolls with everything kind
yeah.
of thing. I kind of like that characterization of him.
Absolutely.
I kind of like would like to see... Because the idea that he's a guy who, you know, he's wearing his sweater vest and his bow ties, and he's a little Superman.
Yeah.
Right, that kind of doesn't really fly anymore.
No.
But the idea that, like he's a cool... He's wearing bow ties because that's super fashionable right now.
Because he loves Matt Smith's Doctor
Who. Yeah,
because
he loves Matt Smith's Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just this guy who's just, you know...
I think, yeah, well, you're right. Shia LaBeouf could probably pull that off,
yeah,
I'd imagine.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. But Shia LaBeouf kind of played Jimmy Olsen in Constantine.
Oh, yeah, he did show, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, taxi driving Jimmy Olsen, yeah.
Sure. So there you go.
Yeah. I definitely want it. See, that seems terrible, but also much more interesting.
I know, right?
Returns. I want to see that.
There's also some amazing concept art for this, like costumes and all sorts of things. So go online, definitely check them out. Not now, Mason.
But
we're in the middle of a podcast.
But I'm just, oh. Sorry, I just have pictures of Megan Gale up from earlier. Man.
She's having a kid.
Sorry?
Megan Gale, she's having a kid.
Oh, good for her.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
Do you want to look them up now? I don't mind. I'll wait.
No,
what are we doing?
No, I'll do it later. It's fine.
Sure. Mason.
Yes?
We're going to come back to this.
Okay.
Potential comic book movies, because I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Me too.
I love potential realities, potential futures. I love potential. I love potential
in
the human
race.
What
are you going to bloody make a sliders machine then? You love it so much. Go make yourself a timer and go through parallel dimensions.
I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't they just stay at a really good world in that show?
Because they had to get home, you know?
Why?
I don't know.
Why not just go to a pretty good world and go, yes, I'll do?
I think at one point they did find their own world.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was like, oh, no, it's my world because the gate on my
I remember
door
that.
Squeaks or something.
No, he said, if this is my world, the gate squeaks.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I know the sound of this gate. But he tests it.
And it doesn't squeak.
Doesn't squeak. And then they
Forgetting
leave.
That he's been away for months and months. Yeah.
And they leave, and then somebody comes out of the house and goes, thank God we finally fixed that gate.
Wah, wah.
We're so glad Jerry O'Connell's dead.
Yeah. Finally, I'm so glad he's dead. We finally get the chance to do all these household chores that we couldn't do while his living body was in the way all the time.
That's it. Now, Mason, you know yes. what it's time for now?
What we read and what we're going to read?
You know it.
Theme song!
What we read and what we going to read. That's not it. I'll put the real one in.
Yeah, yeah, please.
I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? tell you what I'm going to be reading.
Sure.
Orphan Black is back.
Okay.
It's a TV series.
I don't know nothing about this one.
It's really amazing. Well, I can't. If you haven't seen it,
I have.
No. Okay. Well, if you, it's quite difficult to. There's been a whole season out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of don't want to spoil too much of it if you haven't seen it, because it kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's about human cloning.
Oh.
And the main character, the main actress, Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah.
Plays multiple different roles. And she's great in all of them.
Okay.
And it's not a case of like, oh, look at her playing this character and then this character. You remember United States of Tara?
Yeah, yeah.
When it was all like, oh, she's playing this character. It really feels like multiple distinct actresses playing multiple different roles.
Right, okay.
It's really good. And it's more like, it's got sci-fi elements, but it's kind of like a family drama as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a family action drama kind of thing.
Sure.
Super good.
Okay, how many episodes first season? I need something new to watch.
I think there's 10, and yeah. The first episode of the new season is out now.
Okay.
Might even be the second. By the time this comes out, it might even be the second.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Watch
well,
that.
Mason, I'm going to recommend a little known show called Game of Thrones. You heard of this one?
What is that?
Is
it like a documentary about the royal family?
No, it's like Cluedo.
Oh,
but it's set
Cluedo.
In the past. So you're like, who did it?
Right.
Who didn't do it?
Oh!
I'm not really recommending that. But okay. I am recommending the game Cluedo. Because every now and then I do like to recommend a board game.
Are you recommending that?
Yes. Remember when I recommended Rap Rat?
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
No, what I'm really recommending is... I thought I'd do something in line with what we're doing today.
Uh-huh.
There's a show called Orphan Black. And basically...
Wait a second.
No, there's a... I thought, I'm going to pick a Superman story, a kind of wacky Superman story that's kind of got some untraditional Superman elements that I think people might enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Bearing in mind, this
is a script of Superman flyby.
Yes, it is.
There's a ritual suicide in it.
No, there's a Superman comic that came out in 2010. It's called Superman Earth One.
Okay.
You may be familiar with it. They also did a Batman one.
Yep.
Now, upon reading this a few months ago, a lot of elements from Man of Steel are taken from this, where... an alien fleet comes to Earth and they call Superman out, that kind of thing. And that's what causes
Hey, idiot.
Get your fucking ass out here. That's what they say.
Why your underpants on the outside, mate? What's going on there?
And that's what causes him to come out and whatever. But it's very much, he's kind of like that kind of, who am I kind of Superman,
right.
Which I don't love.
Uh-huh.
But...
And yet somehow you're still recommending this.
No, I'm recommending in the sense that if you want a kind of off-kilter Superman story of what we've been talking about, then maybe this is something to give a read.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not brilliant, but it's interesting and there are some interesting elements. Mm. It's called Superman Earth One from 2010. There's two volumes. The second one is about Parasite. The first one is about a different thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So get into it or, you know.
I will.
You won't.
No, I probably won't. Sounds good though.
Well, it made a lot of money in sales.
From you.
Yes.
Because you couldn't quite figure out how to download it at first and just kept buying it over and over again.
I got it in the end though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's what are we going to do, Reed, for this week, Mason.
Yep.
All right. Listen to questions this week, Mason.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's a new segment. Or it's an old segment. It's not even a segment. I'm just going to talk. Is that cool?
Yeah, it's very bold of us to suggest that we have segments in any way. We just continue talking until we've run out of things to say.
That's it.
And then we talk some more, and then it ends.
And then we're out of breath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we lie on the floor for 4 hours after this because we're so tired.
Yep.
Is that right? Now, this is from Ryan E.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to hear our opinion. Now, he wrote this a few weeks back. Ryan E. Gosling.
Right.
He wanted to hear... He wrote this a few weeks back, and I apologize. I put it in my phone. I'm like, got to remember to bring this up. And then I forgot. But now I remembered. So... Who's
you
the real hero?
Up.
Yeah.
Success.
Yeah. He wanted to hear our opinion about minor continuity error in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm ready.
You ready for this?
Iron
Man 2008.
Let's no prize this.
Yeah. You won't be able to no prize this.
No.
No, not a chance. Agent Phil Coulson mentions in Iron Man 2008, he mentions to Pepper that he's from the National Security Branch named the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics
Division.
And
they're looking for a shorter version.
They're looking for a shortened version, which they then, of course, changed to S.H.I.E.L.D. However,
obviously it's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Yeah. However, in later films, including the Captain America and Iron Man 2, it's mentioned that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been around since the time of World War II.
Yeah.
So that was established. That was the name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why is he saying we're called this, we're looking for a shorter name when it's clearly existed for decades?
That's a good point. What about...
Whoop.
What if they've only gone public in the 2000s?
Okay.
Maybe it's like a secret organization.
Yep.
And they're like, well, we've just formed this and we're just trying to start it. Maybe we'll give it a funny name kind of thing. Like maybe they're like, you know, like the NSA or whatever, and people didn't know they existed until, you know, quite recently.
Really?
Maybe. Actually, I think people knew the NSA existed, but I'm just saying. Maybe, I'm going to say maybe it's a secret. There's probably dialogue in the later films that disputes this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to say maybe it was a secret organization until recently, and they've just become public, and this is like a PR thing.
I say that this is just an error.
It's probably just an error. You're right. Absolutely, you're right.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point that Ryan E. brings up, though.
It is a really good point.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
You win the respect of your peers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless they don't like comic books, and then they'll think
or
you're
podcasts.
A nerd. Or podcast.
Or they've never heard this, in which case they won't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, this is a segment, Mason. No, it's not a segment. Same segment. I'm going to call this Andy versus Corey, school friends or bitter rivals.
Whoa.
Okay? Now, basically, I'm going to give you their opinion on this, but I'm going to ask you first.
Okay, cool.
Andy says that Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels was a more threatening villain than that of Loki in the Avengers. He says he likes Loki, he's fine.
Uh-huh.
But he thinks as far as villains go, Anakin Skywalker, not saying he's a better actor.
Right.
That's clearly not the case. But that Anakin Skywalker is a more threatening presence. Prequel Anakin Skywalker.
Right,
I'm not
right.
talking Darth Vader. Uh-huh. I'm talking prequels. Corey, on the other hand, disagrees. Now, what are your thoughts?
I think that Hayden Christensen's portrayal of Anakin Skywalker is more, like, he's more of a wild card.
Yep.
Like, he'll kill some children.
Yes.
He'll kill them for no reason, obviously.
No, because he was going to save the baby from...
Oh, yeah, good point.
Because they were going to discover the
secret. I feel that even though Loki is the god of tricks and lies and he's mad...
Yeah.
He's more sane and put together than Anakin Skywalker.
I completely agree.
And that is
agree.
Obvious to anyone who meets Anakin Skywalker for even a second, that he's mad. So why would you trust him with Jedi powers and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you take him out the back
and
hit him with a brick?
Exactly. Yeah, as a child.
So I'm inclined to agree with Andy.
Uh-huh.
I love Loki as a villain.
Yeah.
I think he's great, but yeah, he's definitely got it together. Anakin, like you said... You don't know what he's going to do at any point.
Even
when he's like an established Jedi or whatever, or he's trained to be a Jedi and he's like, the Force is the best and whatever. He's still like, Obi-Wan's against me. And then he goes and slaughters a bunch of sand people and kids and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a complete fucking mental case.
And also, I think it would take Loki quite a long time to say, destroy all of Earth.
Yeah.
But I think Anakin could, you know... If he gets a fleet together, he could just destroy lots of star systems. Like, even without a Death Star, I think he'd have a pretty good go at just...
Sure.
Just annihilating a lot of life and a lot of star systems. I think it would take Loki a long time to do that.
So we've sided with Andy.
Well, it's going to take him forever just to annihilate New York.
Yeah.
New Yorkers, they stick together.
Yeah, sure.
Mm, yeah.
They do. We know it.
We know it.
Also, he says that Anakin's motivations are much more interesting than that of Loki's. And he's actually done some pure evil things. I don't know if his motivations are more interesting.
Also, I would point out that I think the way that the first Avengers was written...
Yeah.
Loki, like... And I think they've probably changed it since.
Mm.
But I think... And I think Loki's motivation in the first Avengers was to get captured.
Yeah.
And so he could retrieve the Infinity Gauntlet from Asgard, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So... Presumably, he could be more dangerous. Like, if he wanted... I think, potentially, if he wanted to just destroy a life on Earth, he could have done that.
So, you think that was some kind of elaborate misdirection?
I think it was an elaborate misdirection.
I think
you
might be right, Mason.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So, to be continued?
Yeah!
So, Andy versus Corey, school friends or bitter rivals?
Uh-huh.
Pending. But at the moment, Anakin is a lunatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think a lot of him being a lunatic boils down to poor writing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever feel sorry for Anakin Skywalker at any point?
No, because he's a big baby. At all points, he's a big baby. Like, his mental age is toddler all the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was moments in it where you could see what they try to make it like, oh, they're best friends.
Mm.
But they're not best friends. Why would Obi-Wan like him? He would hate him.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, it's no good. He's a... Got a problem with that guy.
Yeah.
They're all written like toddlers.
They are.
That's the problem. They all exist in this toddler universe where all their motivations are completely one-dimensional.
It's the Muppet Babies of Star Wars
Like,
movies.
If only Anakin was like that, lots of people would have set him aside and had said, hey, man, are you okay? You're not... Should we get you on some medication or something? Because you're not right up there, man.
Yeah.
Is there something the matter?
Yeah, something the matter.
Hey, if your wife is having problems with your children, we'll figure that out using science. You don't have to kill a whole bunch of other children. Do you see how weighing that up? That would be incorrect.
Don't you think though as well, like, even the little things like, the Jedi should have gone back for his mother.
Yeah, absolutely. They could have done that. Yeah.
That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
That's on them.
Yeah.
That his mother was murdered by sand people.
Mm. Yeah. That, let's not talk about it ever again.
Do you know they're doing Star Wars Expanded Universe is becoming something else?
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Yes. Like, my memory is very short, but I do remember you mentioning that earlier in the podcast.
Good, good.
Still fresh.
Mason, just before we go, yes. My brother, as I mentioned last week, is getting married, and we said people write in for somebody to take on a superhero role.
Uh-huh, yeah.
These are some suggestions we got.
And it was the Brains Over Brawn.
It was Brains Over Brawn, but I think...
But
just,
also just open,
just
open
whatevs,
up for whatevers, yeah.
You know?
I thought Oracle might be good.
Yeah.
She's got the nice logo of the kind of the sort of the electronic face, robot face kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Like an electronic watch.
Yeah, like an electronic watch, exactly. Good. Okay, well, I want to hear some suggestions.
Sure. We got a few Nightwings.
Yeah, okay.
I like Nightwing,
yeah, yeah.
As I mentioned before.
Yep.
Got quite a few Daredevils, actually, as well.
Okay, yeah.
He's a bit of a daredevil. Mm-hmm. But the winner by far,
yeah,
which was bizarre that this was the case.
So just multiple, lots of people sent
it. Yes, multiple people, including E.H. Von Bronstein, or Bronstein.
Hello.
He was the one who also drew the Gotham mustache poster.
That was great, yeah.
He made a poster. It's Draxophone the Destroyer. So he wants the character to be... Which I think we mentioned.
Oh, musical. A while yeah, back. Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
So,
it's
Drax. Is it Drax? I haven't seen this. Is it Drax playing the saxophone or is it Drax?
No, it's like
saxophone?
A symbol kind of Twittery thing. It's
Love
incredible.
It.
He does
Love
great
it.
Work. But he said if that fails, then go with Greasy Drax Man.
Yep, good. Excellent.
Also, Charmath also wrote in and he said Drax also, shirtless and all.
Yeah, okay.
So that's how you do it.
A lot of Drax.
Yeah, people love Drax. People love Drax. Mm-hmm. So, Mason, that's the show for this week.
Fantastic.
If anybody wants to contact us, please do. Thank you to those people who have also reached out to YouTube on my behalf and all that to be like, what's going on? Hopefully things will happen soon. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you to Joseph Lisk for the theme song. Thank you for Gabriel Bruton for the theme song.
All them theme
Two
songs.
Two theme songs.
Fantastic.
All them theme songs.
Yep. All killer, no filler.
That's right. You know it. If you want to reach out to the show, please do it weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Find Wikipedia. Find Mason at.
At Wikipedia Brown. Thank you for everybody who's at mentioning me.
Yeah,
I am having fun interacting with people.
Absolutely.
I didn't think I would because I'm unsociable and I hate everyone. But here we go. It's good fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So say hi.
I had a few people contact last week because remember I said my enemy would be somebody who bothers me too much?
Uh-huh.
And people are like, I probably bother you too much or whatever. Not at all. Mm. I want to make that clear. People do not bother me too much. I love getting the correspondence. I might not be able to get back straight away or sometimes at all, but I appreciate everything. And so I don't want people to think that it's a hassle that if you contact the show, it's quite the opposite. It's a big hassle. Is that the opposite?
Correct.
No, it's seriously, it's not at all. So yeah, don't think that that was a dig at anybody in the audience, except for that one guy. You know who you are.
Yeah. You bloody and back
you,
off, mate.
And if you don't know who it is, it's you.
Yeah, that's right.
So I appreciate that. But you can reach me at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter. I passed 1,000 Twitter followers this week, Mason. Jealous much?
A little bit.
Yeah. Hey, jealousy?
Hey, jealousy.
So yeah, next week, Mason, big show, Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Maybe you'll see it.
I should probably see it. It's, yeah.
It's been out here for like, what, 6 weeks?
Not that long.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Week and a half?
Long enough.
One
I'll
week.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Can't wait to talk about that, Mason.
Okay.
I got a lot of things to say. Also, we might be going to the Melbourne premiere of X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah, we could do that too.
Yeah. We're paying for it, by the way, just so people are clear. We're getting no tickets for this.
Come on, Sony or Fox or whoever you are.
whatever dumb company. Let us see your dumb movie for free, you dumb dickheads.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. We might be able to see Hugh Jackman on the red carpet.
Oh.
You know what? I don't want to do that, though.
What if he's just there working out like a mad dog?
No, then I'm going to interrupt his workout. Mr. Yeah. Jackman, can I have your towel? Can I have your workout towel?
Love it.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Weekly Planet exclusive.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.